Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. The world needs to hear your message and your story, so don't deny the world of that gift within you that the universe has given you. Someone out there needs to hear your story because it will support them in feeling hope, inspired, and even transformed. Do you want to discover how I help get my clients out of their own way, show up, and confidently share their message? I would love to extend an invitation to you to join me in my free masterclass, Start Your Own Podcast from Idea to Implementation, on Wednesday, April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find the registry link in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Abigail Keene. She is a transformational coach, a healer, and a body worker. Welcome, Abigail. So happy to have you here. How are you?
Thank you. And by the way, it's Abby. I don't think even my parents call me Abigail.
All right. I am so happy and glad to have you here. And I'm really looking forward to jumping in and sharing all about the beautiful work that you put out into the world and a bit about your story and your journey. So with that being said, let's jump right in. Now, that is quite an extensive resume. And it would seem that the hats you wear are quite closely tied in together with one another. And the common thread would seem to be self and transformation in all those hats you wear. How do you find time for all that you do? And how important is prioritization and organization for you?
Okay. Thanks for asking. Also, thanks for having me. And I also want to put a disclaimer out there that I am so much more comfortable in your seat and asking questions, which is sort of my role with my clients, is to ask a lot of questions that help them unpack things. Yeah. So this is a very new experience for me.
Oh, I like that. I get to push you out of your comfort zone.
Yes, and I like that too. So I'm hoping to be outside my comfort zone so that I can be in a little inner friction while I'm here with you and have a moment to maybe be a little vulnerable and unprepared.
Excellent. I love that.
So to answer your question, I have taken all these various tools and teachings and modalities and actually funneled them into one, which is my coaching program for women who are mainly in their midlife, who are looking to make some life changes and step into their fuller selves, their fuller self-expression, and are held back with self-doubt, self-judgments, fears, a lot of old habits. And so I utilize my history of working on bodies and through somatic dialoguing, I inserted that into my coaching program. So part of it is coaching dialogue and part of it is embodiment. And so it's all in one. So I don't know about prioritization as much as like now it's all one.
So with you wearing those hats, and albeit they're very closely tied together and it's all in one, what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine. I still have one more child at home, and morning routines, as you probably know, involves a lot around getting them up and making breakfasts and lunches and blah, blah, blah. But I do wake up pretty early at 5 o'clock so that I can have some quiet time before chaos. And lately it's been like time to have a cup of coffee with my husband who leaves pretty early. Part of our morning routine these days is to do the New York Times Wordle and connection, which is not necessarily one's spiritual practice. But I have a feeling you're not asking about that. So I would just say that I think for me, as far as personal practice is concerned, the most important thing is that I sit on my cushion and face myself. And whether I do it first thing in the morning or after kids leave, that feels sort of the non-negotiable part of the morning, whether I do some yoga, whether I give myself a reading through the Akashic Records, if I have a question or if I journal, that's luxury, that's gravy. For me, sitting on the cushion, trying to be self-aware of how I am at this very moment. That is where the rubber meets the road. That's the practice. Love and it. Then what I try to do often, and I'm actually saying it out loud in case it helps anybody, is before I get off my cushion, I try to imagine my day. What am I supposed to be doing? Who I'm supposed to be seeing? And I give myself moments to try to remember this thing that I wanted to try to remember, which is mainly being present. So I can imagine my clients that day and make a little, like a, almost like a bookmark, like a promise. Like when I see Brad today, I'm going to try to remember myself, come back to my body, come back into my awareness. So, and I find that this practice is very helpful to help that thread move throughout the day. Yeah.
Love that. Thank you for sharing that tip. What drives, motivates, and inspires you to keep going and excelling at all that you do?
That is such a great question, and I'll tell you why. There's so many moments of not being motivated and feeling like I suck at this and I'm no good and who am I to continue trying? And so I think this question is really important because this is also what I try to teach my client. But of course, we are our ideal client first and foremost, and everything is first and foremost experienced on my own skin in the moments where I am not motivated or I don't believe in myself, which I feel like is part of my journey, is to overcome that. I have to find how to move into my, why do I want to do this? Why is this important to me? Why am I so passionate about it? Because I am. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that passion gets covered by apathy or indifference, but I've learned that as part of my defense mechanism. This, I don't care, I don't need this. But ultimately, there is a passion and a real truthful need, spreading the love, wishing this for other people, loving the connection and the exchange, the satisfaction of seeing a client overcome something or have an aha moment and do some changes that are really like fundamental inside themselves. So in those moments of unmotivation and putting myself down, remembering the why, and instead of the what not, moving into the what yes, and instead of the fear, choosing the passion. I'm passionate about this.
And that's the driver, passion. Mm-hmm. You share with us what you were doing for a living before making the leap into the world of entrepreneurship, and what was the catalyst for that shift for you?
Okay. I just want to say that your questions are so good because I don't necessarily think of my life in this way. So you're actually making me pause and have to think about my life in ways that I don't usually.
That's the goal of all of this.
I know, right?
I want my guests to walk away thinking, wow, he really made me think about shit. And I've thought about stuff that I've rarely ever think about.
Yeah. And not only that, it makes me think, Brad, about the fact that you and I sitting here right now is an energetic event. And
absolutely,
how we exchange is almost as important as what we exchange.
For sure.
That we cross paths, what sometimes feel random, but never is. And in that crossroad, we meet and there's an exchange that happens and we influence each other's life somehow. I'm not sure how, but it's not just nothing. There's a
it's
something in the moment.
There's a purpose. Yep, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever not done that. I feel like even things when I look back, for example, I went to NYU for drama undergrad. I've always wondered why, because I'm not really a theater person. But I remember having what seemed like a random conversation with somebody I knew in Tompkins Square Park in the East Village. And he said, oh, you might really like this program at NYU. It's all about the body and exploration and blah, blah, blah. And something in me went, ooh, that sounds really exciting. So in my naivete, I just walked over to NYU and I went up to the seventh floor and I said, I want to sign up for this program I heard about. And this woman looks at me and she says, okay, but you have to be a full-time student here at NYU. Okay. And I just did it, which seemed so random. And I feel like it wasn't. I feel like I was led to this program that it was so much about self-exploration through the body, through our emotions, which I guess theater acting does that, our voice literally. And so looking back, I can say I never ended up being an actress. So what was that about? But it's not, because that was part of the foundation of being passionate about exploring sort of who am I as a human and all my various components, my body, my emotions, my spirit, and what does it all mean? So when I left NYU, I was determined not to wait tables, which is what actors do in New York. And I was really good at yoga and I was really good at massage. And I thought, okay, I'll just learn massage so that I don't wait tables and I can take that wherever I go. All I need is my hands. And so I ended up studying shiatsu massage. And before I knew it, I was so into it. So what started as a means to an end to just pay the bills ended up being sort of the next step in the evolution. And from that, adding more tools, cranial sacral therapy, emotional somatic dialoguing. And now it's been more about coaching. But I feel like along the way, it's always been about, I guess I'm one of those people that I am my work and my work is me. And there's really no separation. So I seek my own truth and depth. Therefore, I seek that for others. Therefore, I do this kind of work.
Can you explain what a body worker is and the work you do as a body worker? And how long have you been working in this field?
For me, I don't know what you would find in a dictionary. Body work is working towards healing through the body.
Okay.
Which includes many techniques and modalities under the umbrella of body work. I've been doing body work now for, I can calculate it according to my oldest, who's 21, so 21 years or so. Granted, it has changed throughout the years.
What is the work you do as a body worker? What does a body worker do?
Right. So as I said, it depends on your technique and modality. Since I no longer, sometimes I do just purely body work. I really do it as part of my coaching program. But when I do work on people, I have cranial sacral therapy be my entryway as the set of tools and techniques where my hands will be placed on the person who's lying on the table. I feel like after 20 some years of doing that with people, I have actually thrown away the toolkit because it has taken me that long to trust that I can, like a jazz pianist, right? Your scales, your notes, and then you throw them away and improvise from your soul. And now my work when I touch people is to just be present and listen and see what wishes to happen.
Trusting and allowing.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a spiritual component to who you are and the work you do. How did your spiritual journey begin? And was there a catalyst moment in your life that led you down the spiritual path? And if so, can you please share that?
Brad, it's so interesting because a few years ago, it would be so hard for me to talk about that if we don't talk about Fight Club. I don't want to dilute it by talking about it or I don't know.
Coming out of the spiritual closet was scary.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to lower the vibration by having your ego kind of be, look at me, I am so spiritual.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Don't talk about spiritual club. The first rule is spiritual club. I love it.
Yeah, there's something so intimate about that relationship inside that is wordless, that is almost gets cheapened with words, but that words is all we have. So, but I'm just talking about how, not what. So I don't know how I chose this lifetime because I feel like I've given myself such amazing conditions to become a spiritual person. And I was raised by spiritual parents who both have a spiritual practice. I even remember one of the stories my dad likes to tell is that they also meditate in the morning. They're no longer together. But as a kid, I saw them meditate.
Right.
And one time I walked into the kitchen and my dad was meditating in the kitchen. I guess that's where he had space. And I looked at him and then I ran over to my mom and I said to her, Mom, Dad is sitting in the kitchen, but it's not Dad. But as a kid, I recognized we have a duality within us and we have the ego and how it manifests and asserts itself. There's this other inside that is sort of the loving, wise, infinite, higher self, call it what you want. And I think as a kid, I actually saw it in my dad as he was sitting there. And then I remember vividly going through the existential spiritual angst as a teenager in a typical teenagery way and saying to my parents, first of all, the fact that I could come to my parents and say it is already amazing.
Huge.
But yeah. I would say to them, I don't understand this world and what does it all mean and nothing makes sense and I just feel such emptiness inside. And so what they would say to me is, good for you. That's wonderful. Don't push it away. See if you can just be with it. Things like that, that, I mean, what a gift as a human to have that door open.
Yeah, absolutely. So when and how did you realize that you had the gifts of being a healer and your spiritual gifts? And did you struggle internally with realizing and coming to grips with that for yourself? Or was it fairly easy for you to embrace those gifts and start to tap into them?
I feel like the spiritual and the healer are actually different for me as far as your question is concerned. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, just to go back to the previous question, I came to New York. I went down the rabbit hole of darkness, drugs and other, you know, explorations that I think were hurtful for my soul, but had to like some burning of that had to happen. And I woke up one day. It was one of the first days that I woke up where it was morning and not already the afternoon, where I didn't feel hungover. And I remember opening the blind and looking at the street and life was going on. And I just knew that I'm done and that I need to step into something. It's time. It was like, it's time, Abby. We burned that karma and now we can step into. And so the next stage was I tried Zen and decided it wasn't for me and end up joining what's called the Gurdjieff work.
Okay.
It's called, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
There's a Gurdjieff Foundation and it's a spiritual path. It's a spiritual path, which I've been a member of the last 30 years.
Okay.
To answer this question, and as a spiritual path is filled with a lot of bumps and
For sure.
Yeah. So that's just an aside. It's not like we have arrived at spirituality. No, it's hard. Healership has been a whole other thing because I think that's where my triggers of not enoughness were really big. Of who am I to think that I'm not good enough. Who am I? I'm such an imposter. I can't possibly help another person. Definitely can't call myself a healer. Sort of the expectation that a healer heals other people, which I don't think is true. I think a healer holds space for you to heal. So that was actually quite a hard journey when I was okay with identifying myself as a body worker. But when I wanted to take all my tools and really up my game and really get into much deeper relationships with my clients and actually see them through something, whoa, that's where I really met my insecurities. And that is part of why I'm so passionate about it, because I met my insecurities. I still do.
Of course.
And going through them and doing this thing that I want to do in spite of it has been one of my biggest lessons in life.
I mean, just because we have encountered and I guess for lack of a better term, overcome those inner demons or learned to quiet those gremlins that we all have, the imposter syndrome, competition mindset, self-doubt, all of those things, just because we've gone through that and come out the other side doesn't mean that they still don't come up for us. I think it's just a matter of the fact that we have gone through them and hopefully we have learned along the way how to turn the volume down on those when they do come back, because they are going to come back. We're human beings. We're constantly growing. We are constantly evolving. We are constantly changing. So those things are still going to pop up. Absolutely. That's part of our path. That's part of our journey. The work is never done. But along the way, as long as we have learned how to turn the volume down or are learning how to turn the volume down on those things, that's all we can do. We're never going to fully overcome them and then never come up again. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So beautifully said. Thank you. I feel that it's exactly that. So many of the women I work with are at the point where they don't take a step because the fears and the judgments are so strong that they're
paralyzed.
Yeah. But when we start taking the steps, we can see and exercise the muscle of doing it in spite of, and starting to understand our fears. What are they covering up? What is that place inside? For example, I don't want to do it. It's too scary. People are not going to like me. I won't be approved of. I won't be valued in the same way. And I can't deal with that. That's too much for me. And then I go inward and I see, wow, I really care. Like, I really care because I really want this. And the more I want this, the more I care, the scarier it is. So it's like those fears, they become, I don't even know how to say it, but they become like a guide of who I am, not something that is just in my way to brush, take my broom and brush them out of the way, but they become like something important for me to know about myself.
Yeah, and we have to go through it.
Yeah.
You can't go over it, around it. You have to go right through it.
Yeah.
And as long as you can take that step back and look within and look inside the situation from an outsider's point of view and find the silver linings, find the lessons, take them and move forward and learn from those, then that's part of your evolution. That's part of the growth process.
Exactly. I'll tell you a little story if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So 1 year, like 4 years ago or so, I decided to try to create a group, and I worked really hard to put it out there, and I interviewed a whole bunch of women who were interested, and nobody said yes. And basically it flopped, so to speak. And that was exactly my fear. My fear was that I'll put all this energy out there, and here I am, I've created this party and I catered it and I decorated my home and I'm here at the door waiting for you, and no one's here. And I was devastated. I felt like that was one of the biggest fears in putting myself out there, is that nobody's going to show up. Yeah. I'm going to put myself out there fully, wholeheartedly, vulnerably, and nobody's going to want me. Oh my God. And I braved it and I did it, and nobody, quote unquote, wanted me. And I cried for 3 days. I was so devastated. I was just, I felt it, like it verified to me that I'm the loser that I always thought I am. I'm saying it laughingly, but there is a voice inside that says, you're never going to succeed, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, yeah, I knew it. I knew that I was no good. And now I have the proof.
Yeah.
Take to the end of the year, and I'm doing my year assessment of looking back at the year and the things that happened that were important or the best things that happened to me. Number one on my list, flopping. It was so clear that this flop was so important. It was so much more important for me to fail at it than to succeed. If I had a bunch of women signing up and it was successful, the lesson would be not as strong as having to go through my own failings and then pick myself up and once again choose love and not choose fear. Choose, I want to do this. I want to put myself out there. I want to help women heal in spite of the fact that it hurt and I felt shitty and I lost some confidence. And so our fears and failings, flailings are so important.
They're gifts.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about your journey as a healer. Just keep on this path. I've heard many people say that we as humans, we have all the tools we need within us to help in healing ourselves. Is this something that you believe, subscribe to?
I would say yes.
Yeah? Okay.
I would say yes. We need guidance. Sometimes we're standing so close to the picture, we can't see the details. And I'm also a really big believer in getting help and getting support. I've spoken to so many women who want to do it on their own, but then they don't. They get stuck where they are. And as I said, it's not that our healer or coach or therapist does it for us. It's just that they hold space and help us nudge us lovingly and gently through the parts where we usually give up and fall into inertia, want to stay in our comfort zone. And once again, it's not that I heal others. I just hold the loving space that helps them realize their own needs in order to heal.
But I think it's also important to mention that we can't do it by ourselves. You can't. You simply cannot. And we're not meant to do this thing called life alone. We're meant to do it in and with support of others.
Yeah.
Because you can't, period. I don't care what anyone says. I will argue with anyone. So I'm blue in the face. You cannot do this thing called life alone. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. And life sends us angels. I mean,
yep, for sure.
Not just like the ones, the invisible ones who try to nudge you through your conscious or your like little voice mm-hmm. in your head that says, or your intuition. I really think that it was about 4 years ago when I realized that I want to step up my work. And I was so stuck in my own way of being so afraid to be seen. Like really, like I was like, oh my God, they'll see me and then they'll judge me and I want everybody to love me. And if I da da da. Anyway, there was a lot of junk in the way of my own, even marketing myself, because that felt icky. And I joined a coaching program and that support changed my life completely. Having that support that was a support that was aligned with my soul, with the people mm-hmm. that I trusted, that they have my back, but in a soulful way that they really see me, has changed everything completely. And I'm convinced that there are angels sent my way because
absolutely.
I could see it's like a turning point in my life. Like starting to work with them was the shift that just started, like just a whole new level of who I am.
I'm always curious about this and love hearing different people's thoughts on this. But do you believe that everyone, absolutely everyone on this planet has spiritual gifts and the ability to be intuitive within them? And it's just a matter of, as we've been talking about, having the right guidance, the right support to do so and figuring out how to tap into it.
So before I answer that, what do you mean by spiritual gifts?
Like being able to be a seer, be a healer, psychic abilities, things like that. We all, do you think we all have those tools, at least one of those gifts within us? I mean, there are many people out there who have many, multiple gifts, who can read the Akashic records, who can do this, do like you said, you read your Akashic records. Do you think that we all have those tools and those gifts within us? It's just a matter
Absolutely.
Of some, because some people never do tap into them. They never do figure out that they're there.
Yeah, I once talked to a psychic years and years ago, and she said to me, and that was before I tapped into mine, and although I think it was always there, it's just getting my head out of the way. And she said to me, and I asked her, can I do this? And she says, honey, everybody can play piano, but you have to practice. And she says, and some people are more musical than others, so they will practice the piano, but maybe get better. And some people will still be able to play the piano, but maybe they won't be as expressive and or as talented. But everybody can play piano if they practice. And I was like, okay. Yeah. I'm like, okay. But my answer to you is absolutely. I feel like we all came from the same place. And that is a space of infinite love and wisdom where we are as spirits. And in a way, tapping into that inner voice is tapping into almost like a place that we know so well and forgotten. And so it's a question of trusting this other voice inside that has a different ring, a different ping, a different sound, and not letting your own sort of thoughts, ego type stuff get in the way of that. But everybody can access it. Absolutely. Yeah. Some people call it intuition, gut feeling.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
But that also, I've found through many conversations about this topic and about spirituality, it gets conditioned out of us.
Yes.
By our parental conditioning, societal conditioning, religious condition, all of the conditioning, it gets beaten out of us and we forget it's there. It's, and I don't mean literally beaten out of us, but I think we'll use the words tamped down so that you forget that it's there. Because as kids, you're so free spirited. There's no, what's the word I'm looking for? I think about kids with art, say painting, and they don't sit there and worry about whether it looks good or not. They just do what they feel. Where when we get into our teenage and adult years and you put that same canvas and a paintbrush and paints in front of an adult or a teenager, they don't know what the fuck to do. They're like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Or they start, this doesn't look good. And they stop. And you know what I mean? Where kids just go. So as kids, it's there, but it gets conditioned out of us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or tamped down.
Absolutely. Which is such a shame. But I feel like it's the human condition, whether it's a question of intuition and sort of our quote unquote psychic abilities, or whether it's spirituality, which is, we get so sucked into the ego drama and wishing to prove and assert and, mm-hmm. and be important, be somebody. And I'm not talking about be somebody as in be a movie star, be somebody in everything that yeah. like the ego assertion of I am this person, I am love me, see me, adore me. And it's like we get sucked into that. And then if we're lucky and we bump into some sort of a spiritual path, we spend a lifetime trying to find our way back home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a way back home into this other place in ourselves that is not, mm-hmm. that is that infinite love, wisdom, nowness, beingness, isness.
Oneness.
Yeah. And for so sure. I don't know if, I mean, maybe part of being human is that we need to forget who we are so that we can try to find it. And the path to finding it is effing important, because otherwise why bother incarnate as a human being mm-hmm. if we might as well just be angels or spirits? But the struggle of the friction between the ego part and the isness part, it's that constantly needing to choose that other again and again against all odds, really against all odds, is so important. So I know it's a cliche to say that it's the journey, not the getting there, but it is the journey.
Yeah,
and I feel like maybe our human condition is to forget who we are when we're born, get mm-hmm. caught in the drama and practice finding our way back home.
There you go. That's it. So what is one tip or takeaway that listeners can implement immediately to start shifting their mindset and incorporating their intuitive and healing gifts and utilizing them to shift and change their lives that you could provide?
One thing that they can implement immediately. Oh, that is such a big question. I have so many things I want to say, but I think I would concentrate on, okay, there's so much I want to say. And you're totally like, oh my God. I feel like all my teachings that I do with my women are like bubbling up in me, and it's not necessarily an easy lesson in 2 seconds. But something I've been really into lately is to track my choices and whether am I making my choices out of love, from love, for love, or out of fear, sort of in fear. And I feel like that goes for everything in my life. Even I go to the supermarket and I feel, oh my God, so many people and I don't like them. And I start getting defensive and I don't want to smile at anybody. That is choosing fear. If I don't want to put myself on social media because I don't want people to think of me, da, 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 and I get caught up in my mask of wanting to prove or show off something. So I start hesitating and I choose fear instead of saying, but I really want to share my gifts and my medicine and my message, and I really want to touch others. That's me doing it because I am choosing love. Mm-hmm. So when you want to tap into your intuition and your healing and you're stuck, or you don't want to step outside of your comfort zone, you're actually choosing fear. You're putting the emphasis and the energy on a not, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have what it takes. It's not going to happen to me. I can't. This is voice of fear. And what would happen if you chose love? I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to go with what I'm passionate about. I'm going to listen to that voice inside of me and not let the doubts tint that or take over. I'm just thinking about developing your intuition. Yeah. There's a trust that has to happen.
For sure.
And so I would just throw that out there as a guiding light. When you are in front of decisions, what are you choosing? Are you perpetuating your fears, or can you dare to choose love, or to choose the yes, capital Y?
I want to dive in and speak a little bit about your coaching journey. Mm-hmm. You are a transformational coach. So how do you personally define transformation, and what led you to embark on this career as a transformational coach?
Transformation in the sense that, in the sense of change, the change that wishes to take place. We stand in front of the precipice. We don't want to take that step. It's too scary. I can't. It's yeah. not the right time. I don't have money. Maybe one day. And I work specifically with midlife women, A, because I'm one, and B, because I feel like it's an amazing time in our lives. A lot of us have done the kids, the caretaking, the overdoing, overgiving, maybe to our job, if not to our families. And it's this renewed opportunity to ask, who am I now after giving so much of ourselves? And also, like, we're wiser and we're less bullshit and it's okay. And time is ticking. Time is ticking. I don't have time. If I don't do what I want to do now, if I don't say it, if I don't be it, if I don't go for it, when? Yeah. When?
If not and, now, when? It'll never happen.
Right. But when you're younger, you feel like you have all the time in the world. I feel like this age is, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. And so I feel what I like to midwife and usher is the change that will make them, her, you move from that place where I can't, I'm not good enough, it's too much, it's overwhelming, I'm afraid of my own vulnerability, and move through it to get to a place that's ultimately about self-love and acceptance.
Yeah, of course.
But often it translates in the world and like real changes, changing jobs, finding the next endeavor, allowing your creativity out, allowing yourself to market yourself for your business in ways that feel really aligned with who you are, that you step out there and you start to become comfortable being seen, asking for your needs in your relationship. It's whatever it is that makes you feel more grounded and stronger and who you unapologetically who you are, self-honoring the person that you are. So I feel like the transformational word is just to, like, we are moving through this change, whether it's external or internal, actually usually both at the same time. Yeah. There's the outer and inner, and we're going to transform something in your life. So that's the to answer the transformational question, because I was only doing body work. And it was actually during COVID, when COVID started, that I had a pause in my practice because nobody could work and touch each other. And it really gave me a chance to reevaluate. And I realized that I was done with trying to fix people who came to me with certain aches and pains and wanting to just feel better. Because I tend to do that. I want to help fix people. I want to solve it for you. But what I discovered is that I really am interested in, like, process type work, processing and going deeply in and actually creating lasting changes. That is not me fixing you, but you getting tools to tend lovingly to your own self. That is for life. It's not a quick fix. And so when I realized that, I stood in front of a really big dilemma, which is, great, you want to do that, but you also have to let the world know. And you have to let people know, not only that you're not going to be doing what you've been doing up to now, but this is who you are now. And that was really scary because I was hiding for years. I was hiding my gifts. I was my practice. I was keeping very small. And here I was, like, I need to use social media, create newsletters, create classes, invite people to all this stuff. And it was hellish at first. It put me in front of my biggest insecurities about myself and my oldest wounds, mainly that I am not enough. As I am not enough. And even just saying that, I can feel right now the emotional content of it just in my chest, because it's such an old wound that I feel so many of us share.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
Stops us in our tracks. It really stops us from expanding who we are and allowing this inner freedom to really follow something sacred inside, because it's too scary that we're going to end up proving to ourselves this not enoughness. So my changing my work into coaching ended up being my biggest work on myself. And as we said at the beginning, I am not done. I'm always confronted by more layers. But because I've overcome some of it, and on the other side of it, there is such joy, a freedom. Absolutely. Of not caring so much what others think of you and caring so much more for this fire within and what you really wish for as a human being on this earth. That every time I hear a woman in the same position of not making this move, not jumping off the precipice, I just get so, it's not just joy. I am so much more in peace inside with myself. I've never liked myself as much as I do now. And it's not because just because I'm 51. It's because I have worked really hard to go under that fear and that not enoughness and sit with it and sit with it and sit with it to the point where it becomes like an old friend and we can tend to it together. And then we're going to move on and we're going to do that thing that scares us. And so I feel like my healing journey is my medicine that I bring to other women in the same position. And this is important. I feel like this is important. This is your life. This is not just anything. This is it. This is your life. How do you want to live it? Because you can live it in ways that are, you're the only one who decides that you can't.
That's right. Yeah. You have the remote control. You have the pen to write your story and you're the only one who can write it. That's it.
Yeah.
No one else is going to come to save you. You have to be your own superhero. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So as we both know, change is very difficult for a lot of human beings because we get comfortable. We get stuck in those comfort zones and the routines, etc. And of course, change can be very intimidating. It's scary. Mm-hmm. Change is very scary. So how do you support individuals who fear the unknown or resist change? And how can they learn to embrace change as a positive force in their lives?
Yes. And I think all of us, I think that's also part of our human condition, that we are afraid of change. Even when we work on ourselves in quiet meditation, we have to give up our knowing and allow ourselves in a way to fall backwards into our own unknown within, let go of the thoughts and the plans and the I'm this, I'm that. And even that has a scary component, like who am I if not all this knowing? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the fear of the unknown has so much gradations, from like little details of life to the big changes of what will happen if I let go of my job and step into this. I would say, so I just want to say that we're all like that. And what maybe differentiates us is whether or not we're willing to do it anyway. You asked how I help them.
Yeah.
So let me think about this for a second. One of the most important things to me is to hold a really loving space for people to feel a full support, that somebody is there to hold their hand with them. They're not alone in this process. And even in my coaching program, because I signed people up for 6 months work together so that we can really get somewhere. Because sometimes if we do one-off sessions, when the going gets tough, like people just quit on themselves. So that way we keep going through those walls. Having somebody who has your back, like you were saying before, we need help. And they can text me and email me between sessions. We have this continual, like, I'm going to be your sponsor in a way.
Yeah.
And then to really, take steps that are doable. Because if we aim too high too soon and we fail, we can't do the thing that we wanted to do in the first place. We're just going to affirm the I can't. If we say, okay, we're going to make all these changes by next week. And now, of course, you can. And so dividing into really doable, little minute steps, at least at the beginning, so that you can see, oh, you know what? That was really scary. I needed to call this person. I was really hesitant. And I did it anyway. And you can even call me and say, I did it.
And celebrate it.
And celebrate it. But do it in spite of. So breaking it down to doable steps so that we can affirm the I can do this, kind of prove to ourselves that we can. And for me, that feels really important. Really tend to that fear. Really tend to that place that says, I can't. It's never going to change. Who am I to think that I can? It's always going to stay the same. And really not only just take the step and force through, but find the sort of the love towards ourselves, this inner tending and soothing in those difficult moments, so that we turn them into growing experiences and healing opportunities rather than just plunge through kind of violently. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like these are some of the components of working with me.
Thank you for sharing that. What would you say is one of your biggest failures or life lessons or teachable moments, we'll call it? And what did you learn from it?
I think I would go back to my story about my flop, because that was so clear. I mean, my life is filled with failings and flailings. If you are a parent, you meet those failings every day, because in a way, nothing is more important to us than our kids. And we're constantly seeing how we come up short. And no matter how much we try, it's just the hardest job.
It is, for sure.
Yeah.
No and doubt then, about that.
Yeah. And then like moments with clients where I feel like I really want to help you. And actually right now I'm at a complete loss. And then of course, other things that I've tried and failed in my life. But I really like that story about failing that group that I tried, because A, I want people to know that they end up being such great moments in our lives. Go yeah. for it and fail and fall flat on your face and then see what it's about. You know what? Maybe that was exactly what was supposed to happen.
Of course.
Maybe
it was.
That was, yeah. We keep getting the same lessons over and over again until we learn something from them, yeah. and then we can move on.
But the important thing to remember with failure is you've got to get back up and try again. Don't give up, because giving up, yeah. that's failure. If you flop or fail at something or flail at something, that's not a failure. That's a learning lesson. That's just yeah. you learning. It's not a failure. Failure is when you give up. That's the only failure there is.
Oh my God. I love that so much. Thanks for saying that. Yes. Because we always think that it was the event that I failed so badly. And then obviously it like leads to, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed and all that kind of stuff. But you're so right. That's beautiful that you fell flat on your face. What's the heartache for me, as you said that, is if you don't pick yourself up and try again, that's what
that's
would
true
make me
failure.
Sad.
That's yeah. true failure, 100%.
Yeah.
Who in your life, Abby, has had the biggest impact on you and why?
Woo! Whoa. My first gut feeling when you say that is like probably different people at different times. And my second, I would say, I think I would just say my parents. I think my parents, as the thread that weaves itself throughout and the base that they gave me that I so often take for granted, thinking, oh, everybody's like that. I feel like they have filled me with love. I feel like they have given me so much love and acceptance of who I am. And I've always felt like it's my duty to pay it forward. As a person who has received so much, in a world where it's not a given that people receive so much love.
Very true.
So I feel through my work, it's my duty to spread love and love my clients like nothing else. And that yeah. moment of meeting, it's I don't even care who you are, but you're here with me and I love you for that. And I'm forever grateful for them for this amazing gift that they've given me with their own love. Yeah.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that's helped you become successful?
Well, define success.
That's my next question. Define success.
That is a good question, because I think when you said the word success, it's immediately having a thriving business, making money.
It's individual. It depends on the person, right?
Right. And so I want to say that success is something that is not necessarily that. I would say my superpower is my ability to love, to open my heart quite easily to people, and my yeah. true interest in other people and their process. And I sometimes, as being human, I fall off my own yeah. wagon or whatever it's called
yeah.
and fall into not the area of love inside myself, but I feel more and more guided from that place. And so that feels very successful to me. It's a place where I live more holy, not holy as in like holy with the W.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you define success? What does that word mean to you?
I sometimes slip into success is only by numbers. If I have enough clients and I made enough money this year and I prove to myself that I'm thriving and blah, 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 then I am successful. Mm. And that's definitely been a thorn in my side, because when I fall into my own fears and not enoughness, I fall into that voice. I start to judge my life by numbers and I start getting really critical. Did you make enough money? Or have you proven your worth enough in this world? But at the same time, I can also call my own bluff, and I can also take a step back and look at my life and say, wow, so many blessings, so many things to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at us right now. We get to sit here and talk about deep things that really yeah. matter to us, get to help other women, mm-hmm. get to have satisfaction in my work, get to live my interests And so that feels to me very successful. To be able to dedicate my life to my search for truth is very successful. And both exist in me, the numbers and that.
Yeah.
And hopefully we just have to keep reminding ourselves to move back into the truth of things, not the fear
for
of
sure.
things.
Yeah, absolutely. What does the word empowerment mean to you?
Funny, because this word is so used these days, and we all say, I want to empower you, I want to empower you. So I'm going to just bring it back to myself and not try to hit other people's definition. But I see things very much in energy these days, and especially my own, because I am my own laboratory for all of it. And I see when things suck my energy out, my efforts, my consideration, my thoughts, of course, my fears, but how I attach myself to things, including, oh, what will Brad think of me? Oh, so that's like an energy going out of me to you, out of me towards other things. What people think of me? How do I come across? Did I do it right? Am I good enough? That's like energy pouring out. I feel like the practice is how to bring it back in. And when we bring that energy back into ourselves, and sometimes it feels really physical, like our body plays a big part in that.
Yeah.
We bring that energy back in, almost like cutting some of those cords that leak us dry. And it's like a physical embodiment of bringing the power back in. And when we realize that we are enough as we are perfect in our imperfections. I don't have to be anybody but Abby. There's already a Brad here. I don't need to be Brad. I need to be Abby. I was made to be Abby. I don't need to prove. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to compare. I need to just really embody this person that I was given for this lifetime. And I sit in myself for a moment comfortably, like filling my own space, filling my own body with that energy. I feel like that is bringing the power in or empowering. It's this, here I am.
Dropping into it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to jump into a little rapid fire section. So the next grouping of questions, just 1, 2, 3 word answer type thing, okay? You got this. You can do it. I believe in you. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Truth seeker.
If you were writing your autobiography, what would the title be?
Reluctantly Showing Up.
Okay. If you could teach the world one thing, what would it be?
Love.
What's one thing you want but cannot buy with money?
Freedom. Inner freedom.
What is your biggest fear?
To die with regrets.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Love.
And that concludes our rapid fire section. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. I threw in a little bonus question here just to throw you off. If you were ice cream, just something for fun. If you were ice cream, what flavor would you be and why?
Oh, I would just say matcha green tea, but it's only because I love matcha green tea ice cream flavor so much. So I'll just go with something I love so much.
All right. If you could step into my shoes, what question would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
Oh, Brad, I think you did a fantastic job. I feel like you have carried me through such a big arc that I think I'm complete.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. That's a very nice compliment. Thank you for that reflection.
Yeah.
What is an unexpected blessing or occurrence in your life that you're grateful for?
Okay, this is going to sound pretty general, but I think I'm really learning now that my blessings are like my biggest struggles. I know it sounds like a cliche, but I'm starting to see when I feel this feeling of negativity, hopelessness, angst, disappointment, self-beating even. It's like part of me can say, oh, interesting. What's going on? It's like a sign that there's something going on inside of me that needs to be looked at. And so even though this is general, I feel like rather than say, oh, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling so shitty right now? It's all, woe is me. I'm supposed to be happy. They're teaching us in this world that we're supposed to be happy. It's all that a gift is being given. What's going on? Can we use this as a moment to look inside? I have a teacher who coined healing as healing is bringing love to the places that hurt. And thank you, Jonathan Bassoni. I need to give credit where credit is due. So I feel like in a way that is a surprise because I knew that for a long time in my head. And I think now I understand it on a much more embodied, physical, experiential level, how our difficulties are the gems.
If you had the opportunity to sit down and have a 1-hour conversation with one woman, any woman in the world, who would it be and why?
One woman in the world. Can it be somebody who's dead?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Because I think I would really like to meet my great-grandmother or great-grandmother who died in the Holocaust in Czechoslovakia, that was at the time. And according to the stories, she was a healer. And somebody walked into my house a few years ago and told me that there's somebody next to me. And she gave me her name. And it sounded like the same name as this grandmother, great-grandmother. And I feel like I would have liked to get to know her and understand myself through her.
Beautiful. If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Wow. I think there's so many things I'd like to tell that younger self who's so, so busy self-beating and putting herself down and, you know, selling herself short and cheaply. I would really like her to know that she's amazing and tell her she doesn't need to try so hard.
Lastly, Abby, if you were to deliver your last 30-second speech to the world, your tribe, your people, your corner of the world, what would that last 30 seconds sound like? What words of wisdom would you impart?
Oh my God, your questions are just, whoa, I feel like we could write a book with those like last questions of whoa, big moments. You know what comes to me when you ask me that? You know what I would like the last 30 minutes to be? What did you say?
Seconds.
Was a speech?
30 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Well, yeah. It's a speech.
To like, your people, your tribe, your corner of the world.
Yeah. I hope this is not sounding like a cop-out, but if I were to give a speech that actually made a difference, maybe I talk about love, about our humanness, and about remembering who we are, I would be really... It would be really amazing if the last 30 seconds we were silent together, and it would be the silence that has substance. Do you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. we actually intentionally watchful, silent, holding the space together.
Abby, thank you so much for taking and making the time to be here with me today and for sharing about the beautiful light you put out into the world through the work you do, for sharing your story, your journey. I appreciate you, and I'm so grateful to be connected and to have you as a member of the Empowerography community. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for the work you do, for carrying the torch and spreading the love. I think that is our job, to spread the love.
Thank you. Abby, could you please share with the audience where they can connect with you if they want to work with you or learn a little bit more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can check out my website at abbykeene.com, abbykeene.com. I'm on social and Abby Keene Healing, both on Facebook and on Instagram. I have a Facebook group for midlife women, Best Chapter Yet, Living Our Best Chapter Yet. You can join there. Then you'll get my inspirationals. I can join my mailing list. I do put a lot out there. I have often free classes and all sorts of free offering. And most importantly is that I have, I think many coaches do, deep discovery session that I give for free. And this is, even if people don't necessarily want to sign up for 6 months work, this session in and of itself offers so much insight, because we really get to find out what your vision is, what stands in your way, what some next steps you can take. And it's just really powerful as it is. And of course, it's also an opportunity to see if we want to work together, if we're a good fit. But it's definitely a way to get your foot in the door and just get a lot of value. And that is available to sign up for on my website as well.
Excellent. We'll put all the links and stuff in the show notes for when your episode's released, so people will have those links there to click and get right over to see you and connect with you. So Abby, thank you again so much. My name is Brad Walsh, host of your Empowerography podcast. Today, my guest has been Abby Keene. She is a transformational coach, a healer, and a body worker. Thank you so much for spending the time with me today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at visuphoria.ca and follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.